you, sir. Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen. Amen. John 21. John 21st chapter. Thank you, son.
Yeah.
Me and Jennifer, I want my wife to stand. I want Brother Jared's church to see who she is, Jennifer. And then my children, would y'all stand? I want to thank the Lord for a wonderful family.
Amen.
God's given us all these years. My wife is a jewel and a crown of glory. And we ain't worried about y'all. We want to be real before God at the house.
Yeah.
We ain't worried about what nobody thinks about nothing other than the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And we don't want to hurt sinners.
Yes, sir.
That need to see Christ.
Amen.
We don't want to hurt the church.
Yeah.
Church don't need to be seeing preachers.
Well,
they don't need to see how wonderful preachers are.
Tell it.
They don't want to see how stupid some preachers are. What they need to see is Jesus.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
My family's allowed that sort of thing.
Amen.
So thank you. I wanted y'all to see them. Thank you.
Amen.
Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
John and the 21st chapter. Lord, we're thankful for Calvary. How you gave us your son. We're thankful for Pentecost. How you gave us your spirit. We're thankful for the apostles, prophets, how you gave us your scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the local church, the saints. God, we're thankful how you gave us a promise of a second coming. Lord, it really don't matter what happens in this life, good or bad. You'll be here in a little while, and it'll all be just right. Father, let the church be about the call of seeking and saving sinners. And Lord, let these today, let your servants be encouraged and blessed by this whole meeting.
Yes.
Not just my preaching slot, but by the whole meeting. May your men, your servants, these precious ladies, may they be encouraged, strengthened. God bless the day. We'll love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. All the Lord's people said,
amen.
Thank the Lord. What a joy it last night to be around Brother Finney, Brother Bagwell. Y'all, you better have them old white-headed warriors. You better have them in your life.
Amen.
You better have them. Brother Randy Bell's become a blessing to many of you, and I got to grow up with him. You better have him.
Amen.
Better be somewhere where there's a man of God showing you what this thing really is. In an age of social media, you can get your thoughts sideways.
Sure.
You better have some old men of God you can look at.
Yes, sir. Good.
John 21 is what the Lord laid on my heart. I done got tore up and got it everywhere. Hallelujah. John 21. Brother Jared, Brother Bruce, Brother Eddie, what a joy. Isn't it amazing how God gives you people?
Go ahead, preacher.
Yes, sir. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes.
God gives you the people of God in your life.
Wow.
And then they become your life.
Yeah.
And it's the best life. Hallelujah. I thank God that he put me in the real thing so long ago that I never wanted all them other things. Them other ships come floating by.
Yeah.
But that old ship of Zion.
Yeah.
That old ship of Zion. I done got snuggled deep inside her. You can have your carnival ships and your cruise ships. I'm going to stick with the old ship of Zion. And what makes it lovely is the people in there with you. Hallelujah. John 21. verse 4. I'd like to preach the whole chapter. Maybe we will. I'll be mindful of the Spirit of the Lord. We've all heard preachers keep preaching after the Lord was done. Nearly nullifies everything. We love you. We love this. This is so good. Could you shut up and sit down? And if you're a preacher and you don't know when you're in that zone, you need to quit being a preacher. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were 7 men there in verse 2. Verse 3, Simon, I go a-fishing. And they went with him. You know, Simon Peter, what a character. I know it had to be a love-hate relationship. You had to love the guy, and there were moments you hated the guy. I'll walk on the water. You know, just think for a moment what the other guys felt like, you know. And then had to help him back in, you know. But let's build 3 tabernacles, you know, James and John. When the sons of thunder are passed out, maybe it's not a time to be bold.
Yes, sir.
And can't you imagine that night when he threw them all under the bus? Tonight, you all shall betray me. Simon. Well, I know they will, but I never would. I could just envision the 11, even Judas. I could all 11 just at one turning their head at one time. All of them looking at him. Lord, I know they will, but I never will. And then they all get to stand by in this chapter and watch him get right. Do you love me? They're all like, yeah, yeah. He had it coming. And you know, Simon was a love-hate thing. His curse was he had a big mouth. His gift was he had a big mouth. God wanted that mouth. Y'all do understand that your gifts, if God ain't on them, is the most obnoxious thing. That's for me and you and every one of us. And the same area that God can use you in, Satan can use you in. But here it's interesting, 6 of the disciples go with him. Like I say, you know, he'd throw you under the bus in one chapter, and the next chapter you're like, yeah, I'm with Peter. He was quite a fella. I go a-fishing. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood. Can I say for everybody in here that's a child of God, there are some long nights, but you wait till morning and he'll still be there. And he'll be standing. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Keep in mind they didn't know who he was yet. No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. How would you like to have been John? He's always having to show things to Peter.
Wow.
John got to the tomb first.
Whoa.
And he had enough humility.
Wow.
And spiritual awareness. You know, Jesus didn't give me the keys.
Huh.
And I got here first. And John knew he always arrived before Peter did. But he was such a humble man.
Wow.
I'm going to wait for Peter to catch up.
Whoa.
And I feel like, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I think we're in a special moment. I better let him in the tomb first.
Huh.
The Lord would want that.
Boy, that's good. Wow.
What about being somebody who understands that somebody else needs first?
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah.
What about knowing when you're the only one that actually saw the cross? And yet God lets a Peter a cussing sailor, a Paul, a blaspheming murderer. You're the only one that saw the cross. And God says, take care of this woman. Your job, rest home ministry. One member. And I'm going to let these two birds over here go into the book of Acts, make history, start the church age. You just take care of mama. Well, the kind of man that'll say, you know, you need to go in first. I think the Lord would want you to go first.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And you know, John didn't tell everybody. It's Jesus. He told Peter.
Right.
You need to tell everybody. It's the Lord. Huh? Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. So it's all right to be one of the other boys in a little ship. For they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. The Lord will help me for a little while. Coming behind Brother Bagwell and Brother Finney, I sure am glad they're not here. I wish they could, but I'm at the moment glad. John 21, if the Lord will help me, a little thought he gave me recently. Jesus knows. If you like to take notes, write that down. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And I want you to know, Jesus does know. Can I tell you, you don't need to take the sovereignty of God, the omniscience, the power of God. You don't need to stoop down to a Calvinist level to make him big. He's larger than sovereign. You're actually bringing him down. Sovereign's not in the words of your King James Bible. Unless you go to the preface, where the translators dedicated it to a king.
Yes, sir.
In the second line in the preface, they address King James as thou most great and dreadful sovereign. You look up the original meaning of the word sovereign, it has French roots and it has to do with an earthly king. I got news for you. I ain't bringing Jesus down to the level of sovereign.
Yeah. Come on.
He's a king over all kings.
Yeah.
He's bigger than what they try to make him.
Yeah.
You don't have to believe in the five bad doctrines of bad grace to believe that Jesus is in charge of everything.
Amen.
Is it chapter 17 or chapter 18? Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him. John 2, he didn't commit himself to men, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knows. Here's what he knows right out of this chapter. I'll give you these simple thoughts. Number one, and I'll be a little scrambled in the order, but verse 6 is where my original burden was. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. And he's, number one, Jesus knows where the fish are. Just need you men of God and you servants of God, all of you servants of the Lord, we are in the business of fishing for men. If you ain't, you're missing it. Follow me, Matthew 4:19, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, the only reasons your ministry may not have power, you're taking it in a direction and a thrust that he's not. Don't ever quit going after sinners. That's what he's after. And he knows where the fish are. They'd fished all night, and these were fishermen. They knew that water, they knew that lake, they knew their trade, but he knows where the fish are. He said, "Cat boys, cast on the right side, and you shall find." When they did, they found. And I had these little thoughts, I scribbled them down this morning to make sure I'd remember to say them to you. I scribbled down these, let's see, five little thoughts and quickly, I'll give them to you and then give you the rest of the chapter if I can.
Amen.
He knows where the fish are. How about Jonah's whale?
Right.
He called that one up, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you, God knows where a big fish is that can get you back on track. I love the modern day scientists and how they got it all figured out, and they thought they found a contradiction in our King James Bible. Because it was called a whale and a great fish. And they said a whale is an oxygen breathing mammal. Well, I got news for them according to the Word of God. Guess what a whale is? It's a fish. Thank you. Thank you. Problem solved. Problem solved. A whale is a fish and a fish is a whale. A whale of a tail. I'd love the tail. Aren't you glad God knows how to chasten us and correct us? I'm glad for the times in my past 55 years that I may have gotten off track, but I saw a shadow lurking underneath. The only time I ever jumped the ship of Zion, I was about 14 or 15. Brother Gregory, with the Rock of Eight, may remember, it bothers me to bring these things up. But for the point of illustration, I was a little teenage boy and run away from home. And the Rock of Ages was having their conference that week. This is 40 years ago. And the men were helping look for me. Gone all week. And they were trying to find that little runaway, and I was hiding. And I jumped the ship of Zion, but they looked for me all week until they found me. And the only time I ever jumped ship, Mom and Daddy had got so far from the land that I couldn't do nothing but tread water and look around. And everybody on the old ship of Zion was leaning over, tossing me life, come back. And there's a whale underneath, and I seen that thing, son, and they hauled me back in. Oh, aren't you glad He chastens every son? He scourges every son. That's the evidence we know where He is. There'll be a whale nearby. Jonah's whale. He knows where the fish are. How about the gold coin? Don't you love? Brother Bagwell had us in the Mount of Transfiguration last night. High in a heavenly place. Holy visitors, holy voices, holy visions, holy visuals. No, dear time. The most holy, heavenly, I was so excited to hear He was going to preach and teach on the Transfiguration. You know how that chapter ends? This is for all the independent Baptists. We ain't got no money. Peter and John, it's silver and gold have I none. But we have something that nobody else on this earth has. The power to get you up. And do you notice how Matthew 17 ends? Jesus and all His preachers, and there wasn't one coin amongst them to pay the taxes. How can you be in one chapter when all of heaven and all of God is on you, and in the same chapter you ain't got a coin to pay a bill? Come on. Well, I'm glad the prosperity preachers ain't got it right.
Yes, sir.
Are we in God's will?
Come on.
I thought just all of the heaven's glory was on us, and we ain't got, not an area one of us got a thing to pay a bill with. And the Lord said, go down and cast a hook in. Catch a fish. That fish had a gold coin. The old man of God taught me that when we go fishing, we don't need gimmicks and lures and plugs and fancy things and invented things. Just put the hook in. The gospel works, boys. You ain't got to have all the cute, clever ideas that you see on the internet. Just get the hook in the sea. The same God that drew the animals to Noah's ark will draw the fish to the hook. They'll find the hook and grab onto it if you don't even know how to fish. And there'll be a coin in its mouth. Let me tell y'all how you're going to pay your bills, how we're going to pay our bills. You be about God's business. He'll pay for your business. He knows where the fish are. I scribbled this down. What about them 153 great fish? Later down, we didn't read it. You know your Bible. drew in 153 great fishes. Peter. It was in the late 80s. I heard Ed Valo, the numbers man. Ed Valo got the riches of revelation, got a wonderful study on numbers. He had 3,500 church members in Macon, Georgia, and he had every address and every phone number in his memory. He just had a mathematical mind. And he said, them 153 great, there's Simon Peter, got the keys. Simon Peter, turn your page one time, and he's preaching to every nation under earth is represented. Y'all ain't helping me. He's got 153 great fishes. Ed Valo said that when the League of Nations, the United Nations started after World War II, he said there were 153 members. Y'all ain't helping me. When God rebirthed Israel and they formed the, and then the devil tried, that league, there's 153. What do you think that was symbolic of? There's that chief apostle. Drew it through a net. And, oh, it's for the nations. It's for the nations. I dare you to do a count in Acts chapter 2, the nations that are mentioned. That he preached to, there are 17 national names mentioned. 17, your Bible number for victory. 9, the number of the Holy Ghost. 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 fruit of the Spirit. It's the number of the Holy Spirit. The old timers taught us that. And 9 times 17, the number of the Spirit, 17 nations. Holy Spirit poured out in Acts 2. Don't make me teach Sunday school. 9 times 17, 153. When God gets on this thing, you can cast a net and win and witness and see sinners saved from all nations. We may not have one gold coin amongst us to pay the bills, but we're able to reach the nations. He knows where the fish are. I thought about the little lad and his little lunch. He knows where the fish are. Five loaves and 2 fishes. Is that what it was? Saltines and sardines is what I heard one old black preacher call it. Amen. How are we going to feed them? One of the greatest messages I ever heard, one of the old-timey southern preachers, Brother Wampler would know is where he went to school, that old man of God. Preach one of the greatest messages to encourage preachers who think they're in the wrong place at a wrong time. This is just not a good place. This is just not a good time. These people are not good. When Jesus had the feeding of the 5,000, you go back and read that. Y'all can do your own homework. It said, the disciples said, it ain't going to work here, Lord. The day is far spent. The people are too many. We don't have any money. There's no way we can feed them. They gave 5 excuses why it won't work here and now. Wow. But I got news for everybody in the building. You ain't never been in a place or a time or a people where this thing won't work.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There ain't ever a day where God says, yeah, this day's too bad. Amen. There ain't ever a time where God, well, I worked in other times, but I can't work in this time. Amen. You ain't ever looked at an outfit and said, well, God can help other people, but he just can't work with it. Oh, no, neighbor. God can be God anywhere, anytime.
Yes, sir. Thank God, thank God.
God said, you tell the people to sit down and y'all hush. What do we have to work with? We got a little boy. He's got a sack lunch. Lord said, that'll do. This is a good place. This is a good time. This is a good crowd. Y'all are good preachers. And this is a good thing to work with. Hallelujah. He ain't never needed logistics. He ain't never needed a market survey. He ain't never needed a good location. He ain't never needed perfect people. He ain't never had none of those. He ain't never needed none of them. He said, I'll feed these people in this late hour with you unbelieving preachers. And I'll do it with a tiny sack lunch. Because Jesus knows.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I may just shout about 10 minutes. He knows.
Yes.
He knows where the fish are. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. You reckon he knows where they are?
Yes.
Who am I going to reach? Who am I going to win? Who am I going to... I can't help this church. They're mean. You know, God did these things in the late 1700s and the late 1800s. But he can't do them in the early 2000s. Well, that's news to him. And he can't use me. I got, if people knew me, says the average preacher, I got 27 things wrong with me, and the one thing that may be good ain't that good. He can't use me. Do you know that's all he's ever had to work with? Messed up sinners. That's all he's ever had to work with. He knows where the fish are. Now, that was the message. Can I give you the introduction? Introduction is good. But it always has to come last. On this. Can I walk through these? See if I've got the discipline to walk through them. The ability. Verse 1. He knows where the fellows are. Seven of them had went somewhere with their impetuous leader. And the reason I call them fellows, because I did a little word study. I was going to call them in. Well, I use fellas because it helped with the alliteration. But down there where it said, children, have you any meat? I done me a Mike Backwell word study. And that particular word was boys, my boys. Yeah. He knows where his boys are.
Right.
He knows where his children are.
Amen.
They had went somewhere. You know, it's been preached that Simon Peter totally backslid and quit the ministry. That may be true. I don't really 100% get that out of the text, but it could have been true. Or it could have been, see, these boys were in transition. They were real confused on how this thing had went. They thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and take the kingdom. And nothing was going to plan. The plan they had in their mind. Does that sound like your life?
Yep.
Does that sound like your dreams and your visions?
Right.
Does that sound like your ambitions? Does that sound like just your imaginations, how I thought it was going to go?
Yes.
Did you know the Lord knows when we're in a transition? He knows when we're in a transition and it's filled with confusion. And it could have been that Peter just said, well, I know how to do one thing. I have no idea what's going on right now. Our life's been upended for 4 years, and I have no idea what this has went to a weird place. I'm going to go do a familiar thing. I'm going to fall back on something I know, and half of them were with you. But Jesus knows where his fellas are. And in a little while, he'll be standing over there. I'm here, boys. Y'all, he ain't never going to leave us. He ain't never going to forsake us. He just don't. He knows where the fellows are. Let me see. I got a bunch of them. Let me run up here with my little gouty, diabetes feet. I'll be back well in about 3 years. Verse 9, quickly. He knows where the fire is. He called them, you know, and here they come. They come over to the shore. He got them over there. They've drugged these fishes in. First thing after they drug the fish in, see, dragging the net with fishes. That's verse 8. Well, y'all know good and well, when you get all them fishes in here, you better have a fire going. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire. Two things were on it, fish and bread. Can I mention this to you? 15 seconds. That's all you need in your ministry, in your church, He's got his preachers over there. And he had two things on the fire. He had fish and bread. Can I tell you, that ought to be the only two things your church is about? Sinners and scriptures. Sinners and scripture. That'll get it all covered.
Yes, sir.
You go after sinners, you go into the scriptures. What are you going to do with the sinners when you get them? Give them the scriptures. What are the scriptures going to give you? More sinners. Y'all ain't helping me. Anyways, he had fish and bread. What else do you need? You know, I'm tempted right there to tell you what all you don't need. What all that they think you got to have. Fire. He knows where the fire is. Now, my Uncle Randy's sitting here, and Aunt Mary prayed me through them teenage years. Her and Mama, I was telling Miss Tracy, Mom and Aunt Mary prayed me through those years. There's 3 years. Satan saw me doing this and tried to stop it all. But I was... I told you she'd shout at Mary if she needed to. God, Seth! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah, hallelujah! Don't bother me a lick. Amen. Only thing that bothers me in our church is when there ain't real shouting. Somebody says, shouting make you nervous? Makes me nervous when there ain't. What is wrong? Something's wrong. Something's wrong when you ain't. You either ain't willing to take suffering or you ain't willing to take separation. It's the only reason. It's the only reason Jesus, it's the only reason Jesus ain't manifesting himself in our churches is y'all won't take suffering or you won't take separation. Don't bother me, Seth. You know that.
Fire.
And Brother Randy told me when I was a teenage preacher, well, he said, Dean, if you ever get somewhere and there ain't a fire, start one. I never forgot that. Let me talk about that fire just for a minute. We didn't got to teach Sunday school. Y'all are with it. There's a little fire here. And it's an old fire. See the coals? You turn your page one time, and there's a new fire leaping off their heads. And it's a big fire. And can I tell y'all, there'll be one chapter. All you need is a little fire. As long as it's got some coals in it. And there'll be another chapter. You'll need a new fire. Don't worry about the size of your fire. Just make sure there's fire. He knows where the fire is. This is an old fire. It's an Old Testament fire. He's given these new apostles something that's old. Then you turn the page and there's a new fire. It's for the New Testament. Y'all ain't helping me. He knows where the fire is. Then he knows where the food is. Verse 12. Come and dine. Come and dine. Aren't you glad he knows how to feed us?
Amen.
I ain't talking about groceries.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A man can't live by bread alone.
That's right. That's
he knows where the food is. Knows where the food is. Gentlemen, we better get about feeding. What he's saying at the end of verse 15, 16, says, feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. He knows. I need to throw this one in here. I'm jumping out of sequence now. Go to verse 21. Peter, the Lord had just told Peter how things are going to turn out for him. And so he wants to know how things are going to turn out for John. Can I say something to y'all? We are intertwined. We are the body of Christ. We ought to love and care one for another. And in doing all that, y'all stay out of each other's business. These men are intertwined, interwoven, living together. Just like us in the church world. And yet, we're all supposed to stay out of each other's business. Hey. You can't handle your own business.
Right, yes, sir.
Come on,
yes, sir.
I can't, I've been with y'all 55 years. Y'all can't handle your own business either.
Right.
What you might get a little overload if you try to handle other people's business and your business.
Hey.
Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Mind your own business. By the way, I don't know if it's from the Lord or from Dean. 1 Corinthians 7. But it feels right. What you doing on social media when your Bible says study to be quiet and to mind your own business? How are you going to obey that command by saying stuff to the whole world and getting involved looking at the whole world's business? How are you going to study to be quiet and to mind your own business when you got to tell everybody everything every day and then look at their business? Just a question. Just a question. Okay. Verse 22. Jesus answered Peter, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Peter, what I'm going to do with you, I done told you. What I'm going to do with John ain't none of your business. It's God's business. And I want to say this. Jesus knows where the Father is. He knows he's on the same page with God the Father.
Amen.
He knows what his Father's doing.
Amen.
All right, I don't have you. Acts 1, verse 7. And they, like us, want to know when the Lord's coming back.
Yes, sir.
He said, don't worry about it. It's not for you. In verse 7, nope. The time of the seat which the Father hath put in his own power. Can I say something to y'all? Quit asking Jesus what his Father's doing. He knows what the Father's doing. The Father knows what the Father's doing. You don't need to be God. You don't need to know what God's doing. You need to be doing what God told you to do. Mind your own business and get to it. Get to handling your own business and quit worrying about what God's doing.
Amen.
Half of our silly songs and half of our silly sermons and half of our silly sentimental services, y'all are mistaking crocodile tears from emotional medicated people. You're mistaking that for the moving of God in your service. I need a little help. God will get much deeper in the emotions of your soul. He gets down in the workings of your spirit. And a lot of time that'll turn you cold. Your crocodile tears will freeze up if he ever actually gets to working on you. You'll get somewhere and get scared and get right.
Whoa.
And quit all that silly public display of crying and carrying on.
Yeah.
Trust Jesus and his Father and let them handle God things.
Wow.
Jesus knows what the Father's doing. You don't need to.
Right.
He knows. He knows. Let me close up as I don't close. Here's a good one. Verse 15, 16. Sheep, lambs, sheep. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Hey, gentlemen. Jesus knows where the flock is.
Right. Amen.
He knows who his people are.
Amen.
You can't build a church for 3 minutes.
Come on.
If your heart's right with God, you can't destroy a church. You can't build the church. You can't shut down a church.
Right.
You ain't got that power.
Amen.
That's his church.
Yeah.
And you can't find them until he shows them to you.
Mm.
You know, he told Peter, feed my sheep. Right. Well, there were several thousand fixing to get saved, but they wasn't nowhere at the moment.
Wow.
Feed my sheep. Where are they? They'll be here shortly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow.
He knows where the flock is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say this for every man of God in here and your families. God knows where your next place of ministry. He knows where your people are.
Right.
You may not have seen them. You may not have met them. You may not have run into them yet. When he sent Paul to Corinth, is that Acts 16 or 18? I'm feeling maybe 18. He said, "For I have much people in this city." You ain't seen them. You ain't met them.
Right.
He knows where they are.
Yeah.
I'm done now as I don't close yet. Verse 18. He told Simon Peter how things are going to end. When thou wast young, but when thou shalt be old. I need to say this to all of God's people because of fears we have. He knows where your future is.
I don't have to tell you this. Jesus has already sat with you in your dying moment. He's already been to your deathbed. He's the one that walked you there. He's been to your old age. He's been to your last days. Whether it's a car wreck or a heart attack or 11 years of cancer, He's already been there. He's sitting there waiting on you. He'll be there when you get there. He knows your future. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now I close with, and I actually close with this. I may have missed a couple, but here we close. And I love verse 25. How y'all doing?
We're good.
It's good, ain't it? It's helping me, boy. It helped me a month ago when the Lord said, Dean, I know where the fish are. I said, I'm glad I'm on your side. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Huh. How's that going to work? Was that literal or symbolic? I lean to literal. I believe if you wrote down everything that Jesus ever did,
go ahead.
This world, it is not broad enough to hold the books. If you want to spin them, you can. Yeah, you're a spinner?
Yeah.
Okay, spin them. They'd sling them right off. There'd be too many. The world. Y'all come back, it really don't matter.
Oh, come on. Come on. You done here.
I always have to jab him every time. The world. Do y'all believe that?
Come on.
I got to thinking about it. Here's your F. Hand me two tissues, please. Here's your F. The fill-ins. All the things. Now, he only gave us what he gave us. He only told us what he told us. Everything that could fill in the lines, he's got them recorded somewhere. So I got to thinking about these books. How is it that this world is not big enough to contain them? Well, I got to thinking. Got to thinking several thoughts. Number one, I wish, and I'm not an apocryphal man, but I do wish there'd have been a gospel according to Joseph. What that man could tell us.
Right.
What that carpenter could tell us.
Yes. Wow.
The rough, callous hands that caught a little baby in a barn.
Yes.
The man God trusted to be a stepdaddy.
Right.
Well,
the man that God the Father said, I need you to be me for a little while.
Wow. Wow.
An old splintered, callous carpenter hands. The man that caught that baby in that mule trough in the little barn. I'd love to ask Joseph, did he cry? What did it sound like when you heard that voice? You heard the voice of God.
Right.
In this world. First time ever.
Right.
In the form of his only begotten Son. What was his first word?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Did he ever sit on the back porch at age 5 in Bethlehem and watch the sheep go to Jerusalem to be slaughtered? Mary, did he ever wiggle his pinky at age 7 and rainbows were jumping and you had to make him stop because people were getting confused about the heavens? What did he do when the neighborhood bully punched him in the nose? I would really like to know. I bet he turned the other cheek. How many volumes would that be?
Right.
That little book by itself.
Right. Yes.
Oh my.
Yes,
sir.
But you know what God is interested in? He is interested in you.
Right.
He sent him to die for you. He said, I'll tell you, y'all can learn all that later in the millennial reign.
Yes.
Ask Joseph anything you want.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Joseph was allowed to say one word. Evangelist Bob Daugherty in heaven now from Chattanooga preached the message on the only word that God ever let Joseph say. With all that he could have said, he only had one word in that Bible. The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he called his name.
That's good. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what we heard from Joseph? One word. Jesus. It's all you need for now. What if the books were written what God had done for Dean McNeese? I promise you, one day in my life I'd take a whole book. How many days now? Would you need a U-Haul truck just to get my books? Then here comes another three trucks, what he done for my family.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't helping me. We could keep going down this line. I don't want. All them, I believe, and I know signs and wonders are for the Jews, and the age of miracles. I don't think we're in an age of manifestations and miracles. We're in an age of faith.
Yes, sir.
But I think he does miracles and manifestations. He just don't tell us about it. Or we'd be given to idolatry in 10 minutes. He just don't tell us. But it's being written and recorded. And I somehow think at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to pull you and your family into a side chamber and put rewind on your life. And I'm going to show y'all what I did for you.
Wow.
And if you want this in book form, he said, there's a warehouse over here with just your family. The books. I want y'all to know he knows what all the feelings are. What all he's doing that we don't know. I'll be honest with you, I worship when I go to church. I praise God and worship God, and I always do it by faith. Just some years ago, the Lord showed me, Dean, you don't even know what I've done for you, but you ought to thank me. And every time I go to church, I think, Lord, I'm not sure how I got here, but you know. What all did you do to save my life this week? What all did you do to save my home this week? What did you do to save my ministry this week? I never even know the cancer cells that you sent. And the devil's on the highway. And that child molester at your baby's window. And the window was unlocked, but I said, And drug him out in the woods by his ankle and killed him in a hole nobody'll ever seen. You just don't know what I've been doing for you this week. And you ought to thank him by faith. You ought to thank. I don't know what was in that 3 hours of darkness, but he does. How many books would have to be written to explain in detail how he suffered for every single one of your sins? By faith, I'm going to thank him. What he done with my sins. By faith. Y'all, we get so many shallow, carnal, materialistic Americans. And that's the pastors. Then it gets worse with the people because their pastors are so far from God. And Lord, if he ain't done us a financial windfall or a miracle cancer or a big, there ain't about 3 or 4 things we'll go to church and testify about. Oh, goodness, garbage. Why don't you come in here and thank him by faith? In your spirit, what he done for you that you'll never know till you get to the other side.
Right.
Jesus knows. He knows. Bow your heads. Stand to your feet. Could I invite us to come and have a time of prayer? Just come and have a time of prayer. Brother Jared wanted that. You want somebody on the kettlebell? Come to the piano. Could I ask you preachers maybe to come pray one with another? I'm not trying to create a moment. But let's come and pray one for each other and pray with one another. And you preachers, families, y'all want to pray? He's the only one can make our ministries work. He's the only one can make our lives work. The only one can make our homes work. Jesus knows.
Thank you, Lord.